Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Yeah, 2022. It is our year to advance, right? Because every one of us want to move into what God has for us. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be fighting the same stuff I'm fighting right now 10 years from now. I want to take some steps. I know I'm still going to be fighting, but I want to keep moving. Anybody else? Right?
And I think we want to advance into what's possible, right?
Right.
What
we
God
want to
said was possible. Don't forget what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, right? He said, I came that you might have life, that you might have it to the full in abundance until it overflows. That's what God said is possible for all of his followers, not seminary graduates, not people that have been doing it for 40 years,
right. But
his followers. He said, it is possible for you to live the abundant life. So when we're talking about advancing, when we're talking about moving forward in a purposeful way, we're talking about making progress. We're not talking about things just getting a little bit better. No, we are talking about living the life that God said was possible.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that sometimes we can overlook is we can kind of feel like we're not advancing, right? Like we're showing up because we see it kind of week to week. We're like, am I moving forward? And I was sitting there thinking whenever they announced the BTS 10-year, that 10 years ago, we did 1/10 of what we're going to do this year. That's advancement. We did 350 in year one on accident. It's a long story, but it was.
And that was a miracle.
And that was a miracle. We felt like we had done more than we could ever do. Oh my gosh, 350 uniforms. And this year, it'll be 3,500 new uniforms. That's advancement. That's incredible. And some of you, you know, you've been part of this kind of series where we've been talking about grow and we've been talking about give, and you're choosing to take steps to advance in those areas. One thing I want to tell you is in the realm of generosity, a couple weeks ago, we sent out an email and just said, hey, there's a real need in Ukraine, and we are connected very closely to a group of churches in Ukraine and in Poland, and they have a need, and we just threw that out there. And guys, we have already been able to give over $10,000 to help the churches in that area. And that's such an incredible thing to be able to do. Together, we are better. And so, you know, that announcement really leads into what we're going to talk about today really well. Because today, we're going to be talking about gather. We're going to be talking about gather because we've been going through kind of three areas this year of focus.
That's right. And we're in a series right now entitled Grow, Give, and Gather. But where that really came from is we said, moving into 2022, we said, what are the things that are going to help us advance as a community? And we said, intentional discipleship, which is grow. We said, intentional generosity, which is give. And then intentional hospitality, which is gather. Now, we're taking 2 weeks throughout the series, and so we did 2 weeks on grow and 2 weeks on give, and now we're moving into the gather portion. But listen, just because the grow part of the series is over, growth is not over, okay? Grow is continuing to happen, and it's happening here every week. It's happening in our Grow You classes. It's happening in our Wednesday night Bible class. And like we say, right, you got to show up to grow up. So if you want to grow in your faith, you've got to show up to these places that will help you grow. And then give is continuing on, right? I mean, you saw on the announcement, 3,500 uniforms. It's an opportunity for us to give generously. We're continuing to do things like in the Ukraine and all around the world. There are opportunities for us to give generously, and not just with our finances, but also to give generously with our time. Our community care team is packing meals every single week for our weekend meal bags. We are serving the student athletes at Russian Middle School every single week. People are giving of their time, right? Not just of their finances, to make these things happen.
And over break, how many kids were we able to provide meals for every day. I mean, this is an entire week's worth of meals, because I don't know if you guys know, but Louisiana has some of the highest numbers of children who are food insecure. Right. What food insecure means is they are not sure where their next meal is coming from.
Right.
Okay? It has one of the highest numbers. If you ever dig into Louisiana statistics, you will realize that if we were a country, they would send missionaries here.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's right. The level of poverty. That's the level of dysfunction that we have around us.
Right.
And so, you know, last week we were able to help how many kids?
Yeah, spring break, we provided for 10 days, you fed 335 students.
Is that amazing?
Three meals a day for 10 days.
Absolutely. It's such an incredible thing. And so next week, we're going to talk about the heart of hospitality. We're going to talk about living the lifestyle of hospitality. But today, we're going to really lean in to talking about the importance and the biblical context of gathering, of just gathering, of community, of just showing up and being physically present with each other. Now, the world understands community, and I'll tell you why. It's because we as human beings, we were created by God to live in community. That's how we were created to live. We were created to live in groups. In fact, isolation is one of the cruelest things that you can do to a human being. Because we were created to live in community. And as I was kind of looking at this week and researching different things, I came across these benefits of community. Support and safety. Connection. Belonging. Influence and motivation. Anybody who's ever shown up to like a spin class or like a workout class, you know what I'm talking about. I never have, but that's okay. Sharing. Not only do you get to share, but also you get to the benefit of sharing, right? Learning, acceptance. And overall, everybody agreed that when we live within community, we have a better chance at success in every area of our life. Isn't that so interesting? There's all these just benefits of community. We were meant to live in community. We were meant to live communally. Why? Because we were created by God, who he defines himself as three in one. He defines himself as community. And so the divine community created community on earth. And so that's how we were born. We were meant to live in community. And then when God chose a people, he created Israel, which was his people, his community. And Christianity was born out of this tight-knit community of Judaism, and this community emphasized weekly gathering. It was really important to them. Common language. Now, they had people literally all throughout the world, but they all studied the scriptures within a common language. They had common language. They had shared celebrations and holy days. They partied together. They had shared rituals of transition, of remembrance, of worship. And they had common values, goals, and a meta story. The big story that they told about the world was the same. And what's so neat is, as Christians, we also have each of these things because we were birthed out of that. And so there's no surprise, right, that the first generation church, this first group of people after Jesus has died and has risen from the grave and has ascended to the Father, because that's what we believe as Christians, okay, that Jesus died, that he rose from the grave, and then he ascended to the Father. That's what we believe. It's no surprise that they were described this way. They were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to the instruction of the apostles and to fellowship, to eating meals together, and to prayers. Isn't that beautiful? See, gathering is not an optional part of Christian living. And sometimes we can buy into a social dialogue. It's like, it's just me and God, right? But that's not the way that it was designed. That's not the way that Christianity is supposed to play out. No, is it a requirement for salvation? It's like, well, Destiny, are you telling me I can't be a Christian and, you know, not gather? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that it's a command.
Yes.
for everybody who does follow Jesus. And we, as people who want to follow Jesus, who've decided to build our life on him, who he's the most important thing in our existence, we ask in every area of our life, how can I follow Jesus? And when it comes to community, he's very clear. We are supposed to gather.
You know, I think it's very interesting that these early followers of Jesus, right, these disciples that would become the apostles, the leader in the early church, and they say, we committed ourselves to those four things that Destiny just read in Acts chapter 2. And so we committed ourselves to the apostles' teaching, which for us would be, that's the word of God, right? They committed themselves to prayer. But then if you notice the other two of the four, half of what they were committed to was being together. So we committed ourselves to fellowship, to talking with one another, and we committed ourselves to sharing meals together, spending time together, sitting around the table together. Two of the four things that they were devoted to. Now, this is how you know, because they understood the importance of those things. Wasn't just, I'm going to go learn more about God and about Jesus. Wasn't just, I'm going to pray. They understood, we need each other if this thing is going to work. So we need this fellowship. Yeah. We need to come together around the table. Yeah. And the Apostle Paul, who was a leader in the early church, he actually writes this in Romans chapter 12. And in verse 1, he says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies, to give your lives to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." So Paul starts this chapter off, and he starts by saying, hey, listen, this is the way that you should worship God. It's not just singing a song on Sunday. No, it's not just showing up on a Sunday. No, yes. It's actually you living your life surrendered and submitted, so that you would die to yourself so that you might live for him, right? This is what he's saying. This is the way that it has to work. You surrender, you submit, you become a living sacrifice for him. Okay, so how does that happen? He gets to verse 2 and he says, okay, that doesn't happen by copying the behavior and the customs of this world, but here's what you need to do. You need to let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So he says, this is our goal. Our goal is to live surrendered to God, fully submitted to his way, not living our way, to die to ourselves. This is the way you let God transform you, by changing the way you think. Some translations say, by the renewing of our mind. Whenever you begin to think like God and not think like yourself, when you begin to think like him, you begin to live a different life. And so he says, as you begin to do that, then guess what? Then you discover what God's will is. You discover his plan and his purpose for your life, which is good and which is pleasing. So we see this beautiful picture here of, hey, you've got to lay down your life as a living sacrifice, no longer pleasing yourself, but pleasing God. Here's the way that this happens. It happens through transformation. And you are transformed when you let God change the way you think about him, change the way you think about yourself, change the way you think about your past, your present, your future, your sin, and what's possible. As God begins to change the way that you think, it's going to give you a different picture of the future that he has for you. And so we say, okay, so what does that future look like? It's amazing. Because right after this, he just jumps in and he starts saying in verse 4, he says, hey, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all, say all.
All.
And we all belong to each other. So this is the goal for your life. This is how it happens, but this should be the end result, that we are living together, that we are belonging to one another, and it doesn't stop there. He says, okay, as that happens in his grace, this is what God has done. He's given us each different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility serious. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them well. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other.
Come on, so good.
So he says, here's the thing. You've got a special gift. You play a special role in the body of Christ. We can't advance the way that God has called us to advance if you don't play your part. You've got to bring your gift into the body. You've got to bring your unique special function into the community if we're going to advance the way that we could. And he says, and here's what you need to do. When you come together, it gives you the opportunity to love each other well. You have the chance to belong to one another. You have the opportunity to honor and respect one another. And then he keeps going. He says, hey, don't be lazy, but work hard to serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Yeah. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Whenever we're living in community, we are eager and ready to practice hospitality, to bring people into our place, to bring people into our space. And he goes on, he says, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Say each other.
Each other.
It's not just about living in harmony with yourself. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
For the person sitting next to you, okay?
Amen.
Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Paul says, here's the thing, we're supposed to live this surrendered life. This is the way that we honor God, and this is the way we worship him. This is the way it happens. We're transformed by changing the way that we think so that we might see what the will of God is. What is the will of God? He spends the rest of Romans chapter 12 telling us, community, 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 community. The purpose of God is that we would come together and we would do this thing together. Why? Because we are always better together, because that's the way God designed it.
That's so beautiful, right? And we read it and we're like, man, that's awesome. Also hard. Right? Because it's like, oh, you know what? It's time for us to dismiss our baptism candidates. Can we give them a huge hand?
Yes, all of those being baptized. Right,
they're
going to
go
Pastor
right over
Alex,
here
right
to
over
Pastor
here.
Alex.
We
can do better
Clarissa
than that. Cheer
here.
For
Come
them.
Yep.
That's
yep,
so
yep,
good.
Yep, 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 yep. Come on, make some noise.
So awesome.
Awesome, awesome.
I'm glad you reminded me of that.
And you know, we had 11. One person got the flu, so.
Yeah.
They'll have to take the.
And hey,
the
if you want to get baptized and you're like, man, I didn't know about it, but I just want to get baptized, you can go back there right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally can.
Be awesome.
We've never had anybody actually do that before.
No, but one day.
But you know what? I say that every single time,
yeah,
just in case.
Yeah.
Just maybe.
It's going to be a great story when
it's
it happens.
It's going to be a great story. Anyway, I'm going to keep saying it. All right. So it says right there, it says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. But how many of you know that sometimes it is hard to live in peace with your one? Right? You know, I mean, it is. And like, you know, I just know in a room like this, somebody fought with their one on the way to church. Right? And like, you were not in one accord. Even if you were in a Honda Accord, you were not in one accord. Right? And I know this because we fought on the way to church. Maybe today. We had all 5 kids in the car, and I was driving. This is the mistake, okay? We don't normally drive anywhere with me driving, but we definitely don't drive to church with me driving. And so I drove, and I was like, where should I park? And so I pulled around the back of the church because I was going to park, you know, and I said, should I park back here? And he goes, well, you're already back here. Well, that made me mad. And so I said, oh, really? Well, I can just back this thing right up. So you just watch this. And I threw it in reverse and I backed up and almost hit our children's minister's car. So that happened and stuff. He is a good driver, and he happened to be in his car, and all of a sudden he, and I see him, and I just waved. So that happened. I love you, Hunter, wherever you are. I did not mean to threaten your life today. So look, being at peace with everyone, it's not easy. When we're preaching these sermons, we're not preaching it like we have attained all of this and we hope that you can rise to our level someday, right? We're all on this journey. We're all walking forward. We're all moving forward. We're all hoping that Jesus will make us more like him. We're all keeping showing up. But this is the thing, is that when we have a moment where we fail in this, when we find ourselves being lazy, when we find ourselves not eager to practice hospitality, when we find ourselves cursing those even who bless us, much less blessing those who curse us or whatever, right? When we find ourselves falling short of the scripture's standard, we have two choices. We can make an excuse for our behavior. Say, well, you know what? If you hadn't, right? And then we can, you don't have to say that's real so loud. My word.
It was real quiet out there. I just wanted to let them know it was real. I just said what everybody was thinking.
It is real, right? We can make an excuse and we can build a theology around it. Wow. We can build a life around it. Yep. We can build a practice around it, you know? Or we can just admit that we were wrong. And say, no matter what anybody else did, I was wrong. I fell short of the standard. So God, help me to learn from this, because you can take the lesson and leave the emotion. You don't have to walk in guilt the rest of the day. You can go, man, all right, I'm just going to take the lesson. I'm going to leave the emotion. I'm going to walk forward and try to do better, but also ask the Holy Spirit to empower me to do better. So when we look at this, we have to understand that God intended for us to grow, for us to give, for us to gather within the context of community. Because that's the proper context for all of those things happening, because we're all following Jesus together. And we can sometimes have this theology that, like, well, you know, it's just, you know, it's just me and God, and when I stand in front of the judgment, it's just going to be me. You've probably heard somebody say that, you know, you better be willing to stand alone, because when you stand alone in front of God, and that's true. I mean, there is a part of the judgment that's really important, that, you know, did you believe in Jesus? What did you do on earth? There is that. By the way, those of you who are like, what, judgment? I haven't heard anything about that. That's also part of the Christian theology. Show up at Bible class. We'll talk about it. But anyway, but it's not just about being held responsible individually. The Bible actually talks about being judged as a generation. It talks about being judged as nations. It talks about being judged as people groups. It talks about judgment being on families. All of these different things. And you go, oh, well, man, I don't know if I'm okay with that. Well, it's scripture. We have both a personal responsibility and a corporate responsibility. We have to personally follow Jesus, but we're supposed to do that within a context of being together.
Yeah, you know, we go to, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, right? Well, you have to remember that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in that moment. And Jesus did not tell Nicodemus, for God so loved you that he gave me. No, he said, for God so loved the world. And we have to be very careful, because sometimes in the Western world and in our individualized society, we can make it about us. Because if you've been in church very long, you probably heard somebody say, if you were the only one on the earth, God would have sent Jesus to die for you. And while we don't know if that's actually true or not, because he had so much love for the entire world, that's what Jesus said. I had so much love for the world that I came, right? God sent his one and only son. Yeah. So we have to be careful that we don't individualize it so much, because when I individualize all of that, then me and God, my relationship with God, everything is kingdom, it just turns into this right here. And this is not the way that God designed you to live. Is this vitally important? Absolutely. Should you be in genuine, powerful, authentic relationship with God? Yes, yes, and yes, that should be happening. But God did not just design you for it just to be you and him. He designed you to live in the context of community. And we need to realize the importance that it plays in our personal journey, but not just our personal journey. It also is very important in how the world is impacted by the body of Christ on the earth.
Absolutely, because your environment shapes you, right? Yeah. If you don't shape your environment will shape you. It's the bottom line. Right? So sometimes we can be living with certain emotions and we don't realize that our digital environment has shaped you. If you're on Facebook all the time and you're just an angry person, I have an idea. Right? If you have 24-hour news in the background all the time and you think everybody who doesn't believe like you is stupid, may I have a suggestion? You know what I mean? If you're constantly stressed because there might be a reason. If you're constantly reading like things that have, you know, there's just a reason. Our environment, our digital environment can shape us, and we should pay attention to that. We should pay attention to the inputs in our life, the television in our life, the Netflix, like what we're watching, what we're listening to, all of those things. By the way, did you know that social media was optional? Just thought, that's just for somebody. I'm just telling you, it is. Well, I need it for my job. You don't just use it for your job. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, it's optional. We don't have to opt into the environments that are hurting us and are destroying our lives. But it's not just digital environments. That's a whole nother sermon. It's our physical environments too. Who we're around. Who we're intentionally around, what rooms we're getting in, whether we're showing up so that we can be in worship, so that we can sing our prayers, so that we can sing our declarations, so we can be in a room that's full of faith, whether we're prioritizing the gathering. And this is the thing, hear me. Church is a tailor-made environment to help shape you into the who that God created you to be. It's the practice field for the abundant life and the mission of Christianity. Now, but Destiny, don't you think, hey, look, number one, deconstructionism will end up with a Caesar salad that has like, you know, what do you call those? It's a small fish. Anchovies and mayonnaise next to each other, and it doesn't taste good, and it's not good for anything, okay? So there's a point where you can deconstruct to the point that there's nothing left. So that's just for those of you who are deconstructionists. The rest of you, welcome back. All right, so clarity. Churches come in all shapes and sizes. Yes. We have Chi Alpha with us today. Chi Alpha is one of my favorite organizations on campuses throughout America, and they are one of the most powerful churches on the planet. They're unbelievable gatherings of Christians, young Christians, who are making an impact everywhere. Churches come in different shapes and sizes. It doesn't have to be in a permanent building. It doesn't have to have 300 people. But it also doesn't have to have 5 people. Churches come in different shapes and sizes. And before you think that this is about us, aren't you glad we're not the only church in Bossier City? We are part of so many amazing churches. I mean, Airline Baptist is killing it. They're doing such a great job, and they have 482 flags in front of their church. I love it. And then you've got Cypress Baptist over here. They're doing such incredible things for foster care. I'm so grateful for their heart for the community. You've got Freedom Church, who they just are so wonderful, and they do such incredible things. You could go on and on and on and on. I am so proud to just be one of many in this community. Amen? I'm passionate about the church of Jesus Christ. But I also love our local community because this is the church that I'm planted in. And for those of you who are planted here, let's remember that we are a larger gathering of small gatherings. We've got teams. We've got projects. We've got community tables. We've got Grow You classes. We've got all of these different ways of gathering small. But even though we know that the Bible tells us to gather, even though we know that community is the place that we're supposed to work out so many of these things, even though we know that, there's obstacles to it, aren't there? I mean, sometimes there's things, there's beliefs, there's misconceptions, there's even identity issues that will keep us from valuing community. And Philip, that's really been a journey for you. I grew up in a pastor's home, and, you know, we were the gather. You know what I mean? I mean, we were in church. Like, I went to every meeting, men's meeting. I went to the senior citizens meeting. I went to every meeting. And that was just kind of the way it was. And honestly, I absolutely loved it. I loved church growing up because I loved being around people. It was like, yeah, let's do this. I would have people over every night of the week. I really, really would. And then I married him. And you're not as much into the, I mean, that's not your personality.
Right.
Now, we've had like people live with us ever since we got married. And we have dinners at our house pretty much on a regular basis, and we're constantly in the gather. But that's not where you started valuing community.
No, absolutely. You know, I grew up, you know, very, very much, you would say, introverted, very shy. Okay. I mean, so shy that my friends would come play in my backyard and I wouldn't go play with them. I mean, that's really shy. That's how I grew up. And whenever I was in the eighth grade, I had an experience that gave me a new way of seeing. And what happened was the quarterback of our high school football team, he would come around at lunchtime, and man, every multiple times a week, he would come by, and man, he would just put his hand on me and just, man, made me feel like a million bucks. I mean, like, I was the most special person ever to be born on the face of the planet. I mean, he made me feel so good about myself, and I thought, man, this guy must really think I'm something. He must really think that I'm special, until one day, like, I watched him, and I realized that he went to every table in the lunchroom and made everybody feel the way that he made me feel. But here's what that did. That made me come to a crossroads in my life and say, if I'm ever going to make people feel the way that he makes me feel, I'm going to have to do something different. And I knew my whole life had been spent by myself, but I knew the only place that you have impact and the only place that you have influence is whenever you are connected with other people. And I decided in that moment that I wanted to do for others what he had done for me so bad that I was willing to endure whatever pain I had to walk through to be a part of that. And I remember, man, I didn't know how to do it because I'd spent my whole life in my room alone playing with my little G.I. Joes. I mean, that's where I had spent my whole life. And so I didn't know how to do it, so what did I do? I just did what he did. And I remember getting up at the lunchroom, and man, I remember my palms being so sweaty. My palms are sweating right now. I'm just talking about, thinking about going back through this. My palms would be sweaty. I didn't have butterflies in my stomach, right? I had big hawks flying around in there. I was so nervous. And I would just go, and I started this practice, right? I started this practice of going out and reaching out and investing in other people and speaking life and encouraging other people the same way that he had done for me. And it led me on this journey of breaking out of my personality, because here's what I decided. I didn't want to let my DNA keep me from my destiny. Now listen, there's nothing I could do to change my DNA. I was born the way that I was born. And right now, to this day, at 43 years old, if you give Philip an option to say, Philip, do you want to go out and have lunch with six people, or do you want to go out and lunch and have lunch by yourself? I will pick by myself every time. I mean, I go to the movies by myself. I go to the restaurant by myself. I walk into the hostess. I'm like, table for one. And they're like, aw. I'm like, yay. No. I would choose that. But here's what I knew. I could not let my DNA stand in the way of my destiny.
Oh, come on. So good.
Because my destiny was connected to community. Because my destiny is connected to God's design.
That's right.
And God did not design us to be alone. So one of the concepts that really helped me in this was the fact that I grew up in athletics, right? And there's the concept of team. And maybe you've even seen on a shirt before a little acrostic, right, for the word team, that together everyone achieves more. And so I had this idea because I understood what it's a part to be a football team or a baseball team or a basketball team, and this idea that together everyone achieves more. And so whenever it came into this area of my life, I just kind of transferred that concept or that idea from athletics into this life. And I realized, wait a minute, okay, so we can be a part of a team. And here's what I know about a team. If you're going to be on the team, guess what? You got to show up.
Yeah.
You can't be on the team if you don't show up. And listen, if you want to be on a good team, you got to show up often.
Yeah.
You can't miss practice 2 out of every 3 times and expect to perform well when you go out there as a
right.
team on the weekend, right? No, you have to show up often. So I said, okay, I want to be a part of this God team, this kingdom of God team. I want to be on this team. And not only do I just want to be on the team, which means I got to show up, I also have to show up often because I want this team to be effective. I want this team to make an impact. I want this team to have an influence. So therefore, I'm going to have to show up. So I have to take personal responsibility while at the same time understanding there's a corporate commitment. And if we will all take a personal responsibility to say, it doesn't matter how I was born, it doesn't matter my preference, okay? I have to bow my knee. That's why Jesus said, Paul said, you're a living sacrifice. I have to bow what I would like for what God created me for, and I bow my knee to that, and I say, that's my personal responsibility. But then there's this corporate commitment that comes along. And whenever all of us individually are taking personal responsibility to bring our gifts and to bring our best to the table, and we understand that it happens whenever we make this corporate commitment, then all of a sudden the kingdom of God is advancing on college campuses. The kingdom of God is advancing in Bossier City. The kingdom of God is advancing all over the world. Why? Because we took personal responsibility to a corporate commitment, realizing that since we're better together, let's bring our best selves to the together so that we can make the greatest impact for the kingdom of God.
That's so good. You know, it just reminds me so much. I can remember as a professional woman feeling like I didn't fit in church, just being really honest, feeling like the me was missing. Does that make sense? Like I wasn't meeting people who were like me, who were driven like me, who thought like me. And it felt like a lot of the messaging towards women was really geared towards women who were very family oriented, but maybe weren't as career oriented as I was. And I remember like kind of feeling that way, and I had allowed that feeling, that emotion, to make me not want to necessarily be a part. But this is the thing. I was a professional woman. So when I pulled back, what happened? They were missing, because they were missing me, right? Sometimes it's not about seeing if a church has what you want. It's about being yourself and bringing your best self to the church you're in. And one of the coolest things is when I started showing up as my full self, not trying to talk like anybody else, not trying to dress like anybody else, not trying to be like anybody else, but just being my full self, but allowing God to change me, right?
Yes.
Valuing all the messaging, but also going, hey, I need some help here on leadership. I've got this whole team I'm leading. I need some messaging over here. It was funny how other people started coming out of the woodworks and going, me too. Yeah, I need that as well. You know, actually, I've been feeling like that was missing. And they found their place because I took my place. Now, I don't know what you are. Maybe you feel different because of whatever thing. We all bring our differences, okay?
That's right.
But maybe somebody else hasn't found their place because you haven't taken your place. Maybe what's missing for someone else is you. And you're looking around going, oh, I'm not getting what I need. And the point of you being involved in this season wasn't about you. It was about somebody else in your life. It's so incredibly important that we gather. But, you know, Philip, there's some misconceptions. There's some thoughts that can keep us from gathering. We're just going to run through a few of them. I don't like being around people. Right? It's like, why would I show up? I don't like being around people. I'm going to be the only one who doesn't know what's going on. because I don't know enough about the Bible. You know, one thing I just want to say about that is the biggest lie that the enemy will ever tell you is that everybody else in the church has it together but you. I pastor them. This is not true. We are the pastors. This is not true. We are all on the journey. And if you feel like you're lacking in knowledge, you are so close to learning more. But you learn more by showing up and leaning in, not by hiding and leaning out. You know, it's just a bunch of people who are talking about their feelings. That's all they're doing, right? I don't have anything in common with those people. They won't like me. Just all the thoughts that we have when we walk in somewhere new. And there's these fears that come up, right? This fear of being embarrassed, this fear of being exposed, this fear of being disappointed, this fear of being bored, this fear of being vulnerable, this fear of being abandoned, right? And there's all these thoughts that come up when it's confronting us and we're like, man, I don't know this commitment to community. I don't know. It's just a waste of time. You know, so when we get busy or we get stressed, the first thing to go is church. I had a roommate who, when in college, it was so funny because it was like clockwork. Every semester, things would get busy and the first thing that would go would be church. She'd drop it like this. It's like the first thing that would go would be Bible study. Well, what do you think happened? Because she was a Jesus girl. She needed church. I need church. I don't come because we're ministering to you. I come because destiny without church is not a girl you want to see, okay? I need church. I need to be in the presence of God. I need community, and so did she. And so it was like clockwork. She was doing great. She'd get busy. She'd drop out of all of her community things when it came to Jesus, kept all the other community things, kept all the other extracurricular activities, but the Jesus community got dropped. And by the end of the semester, what was she? She was completely depleted in every way and wondering why she was crashing. Why? Because she didn't put the most important thing into her schedule. I don't have time for shallow. I need purpose. I've got great news for you. We have got some purpose people who show up every single week and they do purposeful things. If you don't want to sit around and you want to talk about different things and that's not your thing, don't worry. There are always gatherings of people who are on purpose. They'll use and abuse me. That's real. Some of you have had bad experiences. I get that. But that doesn't mean that we lean out forever. That means we lean back in with new and better boundaries, that we lean back in and let God heal our heart, that we lean back in. How about I have friends. I'm not looking for more. Right? I've had people tell me that. I'm coming to church for Jesus, but I don't need community. I've got community. Well, unless the community you have is a group of believers that are building you up in your faith, then you don't have the community God designed for you to live in.
You know, I would say that, you know, there are lies that the enemy is trying to tell you to do what? To keep you out of God's design and to keep you away from God's best. And so where does the enemy want you? The enemy wants you in isolation.
Come on, so good.
The enemy wants you alone because he knows God's design is for community. So the enemy will do whatever he can, right? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And guess what? It's a whole lot easier to steal, kill, and destroy somebody that's alone, somebody that's in isolation, somebody that has nobody else to talk to. And so I just want to give you three quick things before we wrap up and pray about these are three things that we need, but these are three things that cannot happen in isolation. Three things that we need that cannot happen in isolation. This is why we need community. Number one is this, collaboration. Collaboration does not happen in isolation. You cannot collaborate with yourself. You can only collaborate with another person. And we believe that we are better together. So we have the opportunity to come and encourage one another. We have the opportunity to come and give ideas together. We have the opportunity to come and discuss things together. It is out of this collaboration that we find ourselves growing and improving. And sometimes out of this collaboration will come the second thing that you can't get in isolation, and that is correction. Correction. Now, sometimes when we think correction, we think of like, you know, being rebuked, right? Like harsh, right? Like maybe a parent correcting a child. No. Sometimes correction can just be course correction. And do you know how that can happen? It can just happen with a new thought,
yeah.
A new paradigm. People say, I've never seen it that way before. You know, I've never thought about it like that before. And all it takes is a new thought and a new picture and a new vision, and you can course correct. And guess what? When you course correct, what you're really doing is life correction. And life correction happens through these conversations. It's only with another person that somebody has to do what the Bible says, speak the truth in love. Mm. The kindest thing that somebody can ever do to you is tell you the truth. I don't think you're seeing the full picture. Yeah. I think you're missing an important element to that story. And by giving you something to see and something to think about, it can course correct your life. It doesn't happen in isolation. Collaboration, correction. And then the third thing is this, celebration. I mean, it's great when you can celebrate yourself and clap for yourself and pat yourself on the back. But let me tell you, it's way better when you get to cheer for somebody else. Right. It's way better whenever you hear people cheer for you, because sometimes celebration is the motivation you need to take the next step on your journey. Yeah. Sometimes that celebration is the motivation you need for the next season that you are about to endure in your life. And when we come together, we need to be celebrated, because we need the encouragement, we need the inspiration, we need the motivation to keep going, to dream bigger, to go for everything that God said was possible in our lives.
Absolutely. We grow, we give, we gather, because that's the biblical pattern for us advancing in our faith. And there is a next level of gather, that intentional hospitality. But we can't even get there. We can't even get there until we settle in our hearts that the gathering is important to us, that that community is central to what's important for us. Why? Because if we don't value the gathering ourselves and see the benefit in our own lives, we're never going to invite other people along the journey. Because why would you invite somebody into something that you don't really believe in the first place? Right? It's just real. It's just the way it is. In just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to practice community. We're going to have an opportunity. Some of you are not going to know a single person who's baptized. You're going to have a choice. Are you going to be a part of the community and cheer for them and celebrate them and value them? Or are you going to go, that doesn't have anything to do with me? Do you see what I'm saying? But it's about valuing community for ourselves and then going the next step. Next week, we're going to talk about intentional hospitality. It's going to be incredible. But it's about valuing community, choosing God's way over our preference.
Yes. Come on.
Right? Choosing God's way of us living in community over our preference. All right, so the L is learn. All right, Christianity is a team sport. God created me to thrive in community. Christianity is a team sport. God created me to thrive in community. The evaluation is this. Is gathering a priority in your schedule? Or is it the first thing to go? When things get busy or your house isn't clean, is that the very first thing to go? If it's not a priority, then ask yourself, why not? Write down your objections. Just be honest with yourself. Evaluation without honesty is just dumb. I mean, it's just a waste of your time. So you may as well just be honest with yourself. Tell yourself the truth. Why is it that you don't like going to church? You know what? I feel like God hates me, and so I don't really want to be around him. Okay. I think Christians are mean and weird. Great. And just be honest. Because how in the world are you ever going to confront your objections? That's the application. Confront them. Evaluation brings things into the light. Confrontation challenges them with truth. Confront your objections. Decide to prioritize gathering just because it's God's way. And then put it in your schedule. And then do it again. You know, there's always a tendency to want to focus on what we can't do. Well, Destiny, I can't, you know, I mean, I work every other weekend. Cool. Nobody's like taking roll. Yeah, but Destiny, you know, don't tell me what you can't do. Let's just do what we can do. Let's just start where we are. And let's do it with joy and with the understanding that God loves us and he wants to walk with us on this journey. And that when we choose to lean into his way, there's a blessing, but there's also a grace to take the next step.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.